Let's read together the first seven verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Here we read about the faith of Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Let's begin our study of this great faith chapter with some background notes. Hebrews chapter 11 is the well-known chapter on faith in the Bible. In this chapter, we have the great heroes of faith from the Old Testament listed as examples for us to follow. These heroes of faith are listed to show what it means to live by faith. Remember, at the end of chapter 10, the author of Hebrews was exhorting his readers to prove the reality of their faith by living by faith. Now, some of these readers were only professing believers, and some of them were even tempted to turn back to Judaism. As far as the author of Hebrews was concerned, such turning back to Judaism would prove that these threshold believers were never saved. They were only professing believers. True faith is evidenced by endurance and perseverance. The just shall live by faith, Hebrews 10:38. So here then in Hebrews chapter 11, we have examples from the Old Testament of what it means to live by faith. But before these heroes of faith are listed, a definition of faith is given in the first three verses. Actually, it is more of a description of faith than it is a definition. What are the characteristics of faith? Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The idea here is not that if you have enough faith, you can create reality. That is, make something real which is not real. No, that's impossible. The idea here in verse 1 is that faith sees what is real, but is unseen to the natural eye, including the promises of God. Faith believes what God has revealed about the past, about the present, and about the future, and acts on that truth. This is living by faith. Example, God has revealed that he created the world by his word. Verse 3, the universe is not eternal, and it did not create itself. God created it, but no one was there to observe it. But God has revealed it to us. Faith believes it because God said it. It's not an unreasonable faith, but it is faith. This is the kind of faith that the Old Testament saints had. They believed and acted and lived on the basis of what God had revealed. This is the kind of faith that pleases God, as we see here in verse 2. This is the kind of faith that should characterize all believers. That brings us now to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number 1. Believers should follow the faith of Abel. Believers should follow the faith of Abel. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. The first three heroes of faith all lived before the flood, Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Notice who is obviously missing from this list. Adam and Eve. Now, it's not that Adam and Eve were unbelievers, no. But they were not chosen as role models for living by faith, for obvious reasons. Now, let's read about Abel's faith, back in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Did you ever feel sorry for Cain? Poor Cain. I mean, he brought an offering of fruits and vegetables that he had worked to produce, and God did not accept the best Cain had to offer. Yeah, that's exactly the problem. Cain brought the best of his own works, and that is never the way to approach God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Abel came humbly before God by the way of acceptable sacrifice. God accepted Abel's offering because it was by faith, not because Abel was a shepherd. We believe that God had revealed the acceptable way of blood sacrifice to Adam and Eve, maybe when the blood of certain animals was shed in order to provide the skin coverings for their nakedness. Remember that? A great picture of salvation, by the way. Cain and Abel both knew the acceptable way of sacrifice. God had revealed it. Cain did not come the way of faith. He came his own way. Religion without faith, like the approach of many people today. Abel came to God by way of faith. He believed what God had revealed and acted on it. Let me ask you this morning, have you come to God by way of faith like Abel? God has revealed that there's only one acceptable way of approach to him. It's through Christ as personal Savior. Have you approached God in the way of Cain or in the way of Abel? Believers should follow the faith of Abel. Doctrinal point number two. Believers should follow the faith of Enoch. Believers should follow the faith of Enoch. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's read about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch never died. He was raptured home to heaven before the flood. In this way, Enoch is a type or picture of the church. The church will be raptured out of this world scene before the tribulation, the time of God's judgment here on this earth. In the meantime, the church is to walk by faith, as Enoch did. Notice that Enoch had the reputation that he pleased God. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Let me ask you, with whom did Enoch have this reputation that he pleased God? Well, certainly with his family and friends and neighbors. Do we have this kind of testimony? When you die, will your family and friends and neighbors say that you walked with God? Or will they just say that you are now with the Lord? If you live by faith, that is, base your life and live your life based on what God has revealed, people will say, both while you're living and after you're gone, that you walk with God and you please God. Illustration. You know, just this past week, I was in the state of Oregon teaching a one-week course in biblical hermeneutics. One afternoon, I played tennis with one of the students there. On the tennis court, this student pointed out that the bench on the sidelines was dedicated to the memory of a man who had just died a few months ago. Apparently, this man was a really nice guy and loved the game of tennis and used to play on these courts all the time. So the town dedicated this bench in honor of his memory. Let me ask you this morning, is this the kind of testimony you want when you die? A bench in a park somewhere? How much better to have the testimony that you pleased God, that you walked with God? Believers should follow the faith of Enoch. Doctrinal point number three, believers should follow the faith of Noah. believers should follow the faith of Noah. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, we don't have time to read the whole account of Noah in Genesis, but you know the story well. Can you imagine the ridicule Noah must have faced as he was building the ark? Miles from any sizable body of water, and before there was any rain on this earth? Hey, Noah, are you crazy or something? What's rain anyway? Now, I don't know whether Noah shouted back, "How long can you tread water?" But I do know that Noah preached the truth of the coming flood, in spite of the ridicule. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. And according to Genesis 6, it may be that he preached for 120 years before the flood, while the ark was being built. And he was being ridiculed and mocked all during that time. You know, it takes a lot of faith to preach in the face of opposition. And here in Hebrews chapter 11, we see that Noah was concerned about his family. Look there in verse 7. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Are you concerned about your family? Are you doing something about it? You are if you have biblical faith. You believe what God has revealed about the future, and therefore you're concerned about your family. God had revealed to Noah what he was going to do, and he told him to build an ark, which was no small project. Noah believed God, and he obeyed God in view of the coming future. He preached with the word of God in one hand, and he built the ark at the same time with a hammer in the other hand. That's biblical faith. In view of what God had revealed about the future, Noah was concerned about his family and concerned about the lost. He believed and obeyed God, and by faith, he preached and built the ark. Believers should follow the faith of Noah. Now, what about practical application from this first section of Hebrews chapter 11? Do we really want to please God? Do we really want to please God? Look at verse 6 once again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. How many of us really want to please God? Well, what's the key? The key is biblical faith. Faith that not only believes that the one true God of the Bible exists, but that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's read the verse again. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, how do we diligently seek the Lord and thus please the Lord? We simply believe what he has promised and commanded, and then we live our lives in obedience to God's commands and in light of what he has promised. It does make a difference, and we will be rewarded. Illustration: how much time do we spend each day studying the Word of God compared to how much time watching TV? And we say we're living by faith? Who are we kidding anyway? Do we really want to please God?